Hello, everyone. Welcome back to yet another episode of My Reality Podcast, supported by Love Alliance, which is a partnership to build a unifying, strong Pan-African movement that promotes access to sexual and reproductive health and rights. We aim to share the lived realities of young key populations and amplify the needs of young key populations, as well as calling on policymakers, decision makers to turn words and commitments into actions and to increase the inclusion of young key populations in decision making. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Joel Akeo, and today with me in studio, we're going to be talking about intersections of identity, sexuality, and HIV advocacy, focusing on the unique challenges and narratives of queer communities and transgender populations, especially among young key populations. So, with me are three insightful voices with us today. We do have Lena, we do have Malak, and Robert. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for sharing your lived experiences and insights with us. So, I'm going to give you all a chance to tell us a little bit more about who you are, where you're from, what you do, and then we're going to jump right into the conversation. So we're going to start off with Lena. Lena, could you do the honor?
I go by the name of Lena Kasachiam. I'm the executive director at Trans Alive Initiative Uganda, a trans youth woman, feminist, food and diverse and sex work led organization. I'll be a best in good.
Hello, everybody. Hello, universe. My name is Robert, and I am from Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm a human rights advocate, actor, model, and systemic therapist.
Awesome. Fantastic. And last but not least, we do have Malak. So, Malak, if you could be able to tell us a little bit more about who you are, where you're from, what you do, that would be really, really amazing.
Hello, I'm Malak, and I'm a sex worker and trans feminist activist. I'm based in Morocco. I'm also a writer and a leader of sex worker rights movement and the MENA region. I am the founder and executive director of Telane NGO, the very first organization in North Africa and Morocco that like working explicitly on promoting sex worker rights. I just like started my activism at a young age, and I've been a part like of various initiatives and projects, and I'm also part of GRIDA, the Young Feminist Fund Advisory Committee, and I'm working with TransDad as a coordinator.
Awesome, that's really, really fantastic. And you know, we have an amazing action-packed conversation that we have with you today, and those are our speakers for today, and we're discussing beyond the binary, the lived experiences of young key populations and queer communities in the HIV space. So if we can get started, and I'm going to start us off with Lena. So Lena, can you tell us how your personal experiences as a member of the queer community have influenced your perspective and approach within the HIV advocacy space? Lena?
Thank you so much. So my experience as a young woman at sexual awakening in the northern region of Uganda with HIV, I have agonized a lot because of my gender orientation. My experience starts from back then when I was still young. I served as an LGBT, it was stigma discrimination. It started from my secondary school community members and my dad. I've never had that parental love with my dad, and which is okay. He never left me. Said, I didn't cast to the bandit. So he evicted me from their family. And as a person, I was so young, I was 17 years, I couldn't access for any help from anywhere. So I started sex work at that early age. And yeah, I got someone that we share feelings, and eventually fell in love. Of which I didn't know the person is positive, that the person did share that positive living life with me, simply because I didn't have that confidence in me to ask for protection. I have a test before going for anything, and the person infected me. And after that, the mission was accomplished because I could he had that mission. He just doubted me and I was like, what's going on? Where am I going? I went back to the streets and I started like my life of sex work. I didn't know I was positive. I was living positive. And every 2 months, I got a fever and I went to the clinic. So I had he tests. The nurse tested me and found, and surprisingly, I was positive. Then I was positive, and it was a depressing time, frustrating time. I couldn't go for counseling. I could not access anything. But inside me, I knew I will become a storyteller, a success storyteller. Life changed that in my, trans persons who are also living with perpetrators in that community. But I think I always share PPs whenever I'm in any space. I remember one day I had to refill my drugs and went to the health facility where I found a health worker. And the health worker was like, what's your name? What I love those conversations. So I shared. I told her my name. What she was like, Lena, and the man, what is going on here? I knew deep in me that health workers don't have that ideas and knowledges about trans persons accessing their health care. So as a passionate person, I sat down with my fellows and decided to have something, like have an organization which is at least innovative, which will help to amplify the voices of trans persons who are dealing with HIV and also who are negative eating, because you can't just work with people who are living with HIV and then eat those who are negative. Again, we sat down and here we came out with the Trans Alive Initiative in Uganda, our trans youth, our lead and sex worker, gender diverse organization. So I think I've answered it all. That's my experience when it comes to the HIV positive living experience.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Lena. And you know, your perspectives have truly, truly shaped your approach within the HIV advocacy space. And you know, if we shifting winds a little bit, because in our previous episode we talked about us being a global citizen. Now we are going to go all the way back to North Africa and Malak. You know, given the broad challenges that exist, can you hone in on a specific challenge that queer and transgender populations, especially as Yankee populations, face within the HIV movement? Or perhaps you can share how you or someone you're acquainted with has navigated this challenge.
Of course. So like being a trans person born and like raised in Morocco, and like my experience as a transgender and sex worker, like as one of navigating like both sides, maybe like pride and prejudice in the same time. With like my advocacy work and my community experience and my own lived experience in HIV spaces, like both advocacy and services has given me like a deep understanding of the covered ways in which like HIV stigma manifests like in our society and affects us like every day. I was one of the people that like started avoiding HIV services. I can remember like when I had to spend 6 hours in the hospital and like people staring at me and treating me as like an alien and like asking many personal and like judgmental questions just like to have access to the PAP treatment, while I was like trying to do their job and explain to them that I must take the treatment within like 73 hours. Unfortunately, they made me spend the whole period in an environment full of like of stigma and discrimination. It's like I'm always like reminding the urgency like to be aware that we combat not only just HIV, but like the associated stigma that like make the fight like for our rights so challenges. For example, like one of the most challenges like we face in Morocco, like is decriminalization of both same-sex relationships, which means like our identities and sex work. So like coming back to this like legal backdrop, it's like really intensifies the fear of like many people that are like seeking HIV related care. Many transgender people in Morocco like avoid getting tested because of the stigma in these spaces. And we like as community, we have had to create network of support and like underground resources for like, and like also like our initiatives to navigate like this landscape safely. And also like it comes from that we realized that like sex workers, especially in trans sex workers' voices, were like never included in the issues that like really concern us. For example, that like number of HIV NGOs like which only work with like sex workers as potential vectors of the disease without recognition, like without recognizing their agency, and like where sex workers and sex worker service users face great deals of discrimination.
Oh, okay. That's really, really, you know, it's really intense, you know, for the things and the challenges that you have had to face and to overcome down there back at home. But, you know, trying to get the best out of it and, you know, trying to change the narrative and change lives, you know, with regard to the current situation that is happening, that, you know, goes ahead to prove that you are a champion. And, you know, trying to tackle those challenges, it's something that, you know, I truly, truly appreciate you for that. And thank you so much, Wala. You know, now, if we now shifting winds again, moving down south, where Robert, Mr. Robert, on the topic of personal narratives, is there a particular story or defining moment from your journey that captures the essence of being part of the queer community while navigating the wider HIV advocacy landscape?
Firstly, speaking from where I come from, Zimbabwe, I would like to say it was a bit difficult in the beginning when it comes to queer and transgender people accessing healthcare services, especially those living with HIV. I'd like to take it back when we were in the COVID era. It was a big challenge, a major challenge when it comes to Zimbabwe, as some of the queer people and transgender people could not access their antiretroviral treatment at the healthcare facility due to the current lockdown that was imposed to everybody, as it was one of the COVID-19 regulations. So it was very difficult for them, as a traveling document was needed to be provided in order for them to cross the police roadblocks and reach where they do collect their medication. And with that, it resulted to mental health, which was one of the biggest issues, as some of our community members, especially the transgenders, were outed at the police roadblocks in front of many people that they are transgenders and as well they are living with HIV. So it was a major challenge, and we had to address the issue as organizations and probably find possible ways on how we can solve this particular problem. So what was done with one of the LGBTIQ community-based organization, which is GALS, they had to provide transportation whereby a person who was due to collect their medication, they would collect that person from home to the nearest facility or the facilities they worked with, which was Wilkins at that time, in order for them to collect their medication. And with that, we did find that, as well as part of the crew rather, we did find that it was a major challenge, and it was best for us to sensitize healthcare practitioners and also healthcare facilities when it comes to transgender and queer people living with HIV. So it was a major challenge, and we had to address those issues. We had to work on those barriers, for they could not access healthcare services, even though they face stigma and discrimination when they reach at the facility beside the COVID-19. So as they face such, some of them, we found that there was a resulting to default to medication, and they could not, we found defaulters and they could not go to the facility. And reason being was that they were facing stigma and discrimination. So we had to sensitize healthcare practitioners on it, and we had to do community dialogues with the LGBTQ community on how important it is to get your antiretroviral treatment, and we had support groups. As we managed to sensitize some of the facilities, which are probably 18 big major facilities in Zimbabwe, with the help of Girls and Panje Zimbabwe AIDS Trust, we could see that our key population, rather, they're now able to go and collect their medication without stigma, facing any stigma and discrimination. We cannot say that it is 100% over, but the fact that we managed to set a gap whereby we sensitized some healthcare practitioners and we saw some change, but change was there. But the problem now is that due to the current economy of Zimbabwe, most of these healthcare practitioners, they are moving to the Europe, to the Western countries, in search of greener pastures. So this resulting that we do have nurses that are being employed who have no sensitization or education when it comes to the LGBTQ community, the key population rather. So it's now a major challenge whereby we have to typically have to start again the sensitization that we did before, and then with this new group, in order for them to, you know, offer the services that are being looked for with our key populations. So it's something that is working in progress on it, and we're trying by all means to see how best can we deliver this. But when it comes to policy engagement, policymakers, we've managed to engage with the Ministry of Health when it comes to the key population program, and we're actually seeing a change as they are very accommodative when it comes to that. So they have been helping in a way that we could probably see that there's a difference, and as key population they can access healthcare services. Although sensitization, like I said earlier, it's something that is lacking, as we are focusing on a small, bigger group of people are working at a healthcare facility, and we were thinking of it's more better to reach out if it's a facility, each and every person who works there, including to the gate man, the guards, the receptionist. They also have to get that sensitization, because you find that our community, when they're entering their healthcare facility, they pass through those people. So in short, we are trying to work on that, and also find possible ways on how best we can help our community, and also finding what are the problems that queer and transgender people are facing in Zimbabwe, so that we can find possible ways and means on how we can address those issues, advocate for these issues, and make a better change, not only for this generation, but even the upcoming generation who might be facing that. And also, additionally, working on having more sensitization, like I mentioned, more support groups, more outreaches, so that our key populations, they feel safe when they're accessing the services. And they have to know that each and every person have a right to health. So if you have a right to health, you do have a right to go and access the services that you do require as an individual.
Thank you so much. That's very, very inspiring. And you know, if we have to look at it from, you know, different perspectives from what you've put up across, strides are being taken. You know, it might be a challenge right now, but as you said, you know, things are looking up great. And the perfect example we can use is the Young Emerging Leaders program that you folks are currently in, right? So it's by, you know, advocating and bringing up young people to keep on championing and advocating for the rights of young people, that's going to help us to achieve the dream that we want to see that. So thank you so much for that, Roberts. And we're gonna go back to you, Lina, and I would just love, you know, to understand, while taking a broader perspective, right, how can the HIV advocacy community better support, include, and amplify the voices and unique needs of queer and transgender community?
On that question, I'll start with youth engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you missing? I'm missing that when it comes to the youth engagement. A lot of youth have not been given justice to get part into the storytelling and advocacy programs. So I'll start with youth engagement and the girl resource mobilization. Implementing and conducting HIV activities has to be brought on board, more so on sensitization on the prevention of HIV in our communities among the trans youth and the queer. Again, about capacity building, transgenders, queers, and young key populations out there have potentials to avail their skills. But again, they are not well trained on how to handle counseling programs and how to avail their skills. Inclusivity of transgenders and queer in decision making. Transgender persons and queers are not even like platforms when it comes to visibility and to occupy advocacy spaces. The battle involved in the decision making. So I think that should be changed. Sexual education, promoting comprehensive trans inclusive sexual education in schools and community, because this relates, I think, to it relates to me. If I had some knowledge on sexual education, I couldn't fall in such traps. So I think we need so much sexual education in schools. We have to conduct at least outreaches.
Yeah.
Outreaches and campaigns tailored to experiences and concerns of queer and transgender persons, including addressing the mental health aspects of stigma. Because a lot of trans persons are going through a lot. They are facing trauma, they are facing frustration. So I think I've answered that question.
That's really, really beautiful. That's really powerful on how, you know, we can best be able to support the community. And this is also coming from the HIV advocacy space. And I am with you there on championing for the rights of sex workers all around the globe, right? We're already having that locally here in Kenya where we're discussing about it. It's not yet sure, but we're on the right step. And also, you know, when it comes to supporting other queer and transgender communities. And, you know, as we are coming to a wrap of today's discussion, Robert, we're going to have you explain to us, so give us a brief summary on, well, when we consider everything from societal stigmas to barriers in healthcare access, what systemic changes are paramount in addressing the distinct challenges faced by young, queer, and transgender individuals in the HIV arena?
When it comes to policy engagement, policy makers, we've managed to engage with the Ministry of Health when it comes to the Key Population Program. And we're actually seeing a change, as they are very accommodative when it comes to that. So they have been helping in a way that we could probably see that there's a difference, and as key population they can access healthcare services. Although sensitization, like I said earlier, it's still something that is lacking, as we are focusing on a small, bigger group of people are working at a healthcare facility, and we were thinking of it's more better to reach out, if it's a facility, each and every person who works there, including to the gate man, the guard, the guards, the receptionist, they also have to get that sensitization, because you find that our community, when they're entering the healthcare facility, they pass through those people. So in short, we are trying to work on that, and also find possible ways on how best we can help our community and also finding what are the problems that queer and transgender people are facing in Zimbabwe, so that we can find possible ways and means on how we can address those issues, advocate for these issues, and make a better change, not only for this generation, but even the upcoming generation who might be facing that. And also, additionally, working on having more sensitization, like I mentioned, more support groups, more outreaches, so that our key populations, they feel safe when they're accessing the services. And they have to know that each and every person have a right to health. So if you have a right to health, you do have a right to go and access the services that you do require as an individual.
Right. So much for that, Robert. And with that, you know, that huge thank you to our guests for sharing their experiences, challenges, and hopes for more inclusive future in the HIV advocacy space. And this marks the end of our episode, Beyond the Binary, the lived experiences of young queer populations and queer communities in the HIV space. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. Stay tuned for more insightful discussions in our upcoming episodes as we continue to amplify the voices at the forefront of advocacy. I have been your host, Shuel Okeo, and this has been My Reality Podcast by Love Alliance. So until next time, goodbye, kwaheri, adios, and obrigada. Bye.